Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Wandering Road Podcast. I'm your host Chris, alongside my co-host Dean, and for today's show, we are joined by my friend Aaron, who is going to share more paranormal experiences that he has had within the past few years. It looks like he was holding out on us when we did our show earlier when we started this podcast, so I'm excited to talk to him and hear him share these new stories that he has for us. But before we get started with today's show, if you would like to share your stories with us and have an episode dedicated to it, or you would like to be a guest on the show to share your paranormal experiences, cryptid experiences, or anything paranormal of that sort, please feel free to email us at twroadpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. Again, the email address is twroadpodcast@gmail.com. And with that, we'll start today's show. How are you doing tonight, guys?
Good, man. It's finally good to be on an episode with Dean.
Yeah, man, this is going to be a good one because we got the trifecta here. We got some good stories. I'm actually probably going to take the back seat a little bit more because it sounds like you guys have some more personal stories, and I might jump in and kind of comment and ask questions as we go, but feel free to take it away. I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say.
Personal in the sense that he was one of my first guests, and he didn't tell me everything that we're going to talk about
today. So the funny thing about this is you were out for my wedding recently. For those of you who don't know, Chris actually served as my best man. And right before he took off to go home, we were just talking about different things. Or actually, we were talking about this the night of the rehearsal dinner when we were sitting at the bar grabbing a drink. And Chris just sitting here is like, man, this motherfucker's been holding out on me. He's like, you never told me any of this stuff before.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about it a little bit, go a little bit in depth. I know you and I have talked a little bit about wanting to do some stuff and talk about sleep paralysis. So excited to be here and excited to be on with Dean.
By the way, congrats, man. I did not know, actually didn't know it was your wedding that Chris went to recently. So that's awesome, man. How's it feel to be married?
No different than when it was pre-marriage. It was funny. Chris asked me the same thing. And I think, Chris, what your feedback was, anybody who says differently is a lying piece of shit or whatever it is.
yeah, absolutely. They're full of shit. Like, oh, it's different. Well, you married the wrong fucking person, jackass.
Yeah, literally everything feels the same, but I appreciate it. It was exciting. Got married on a Thursday, took off from one for a few days. Now, you know, back in the real world.
You know, it's funny because the same thing happened to me. I had a bunch of people and I got married, what, like, I think it's been 5 years, 5 or 6 years now. And I had the same people or the same type of question all the time. And so get ready for more. Like, people are going to ask you that all the time for a little while, but it was the same thing. Like, my wife and I, before we were married, we lived together for probably, I don't even know, like, 4 years. We lived together for 4+ years. And so it literally felt no different. And the worst, this is the best part, but some people might call it the worst because it's probably going to sound weird. But, you know, on the night, like your wedding night, you're supposed to get, you know, all excited. You go, you know, hang out, you know, do like romantic stuff. But literally my wife and I, like that night after we got married, we literally just ordered like a huge plate of takeout sushi and ate it in the hotel room. And we were so happy. That's all we needed. Like, we didn't need anything fancy after we got married. We just had some nice sushi in a hotel room and we just like talked and like, that was it. It was awesome. So I feel you, man.
By the way, dude, Dean, I feel like such a dick that I couldn't be a part of your bridal party and make it to your wedding. It still kills me to this day. It still kills me to this day. I got to say it live on air.
See, now you have it on record forever. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, unless I edit it out. But I think we dicked around enough, guys. Let's get started with the first topic for today. Before you go into the story, I know you wanted to talk to us about this, and Dean and I actually did a show dedicated to it. You weren't available to join us for that one, unfortunately. But it was specifically with sleep paralysis and the hag. So I wanted to get your perspective on sleep paralysis and the night hag. Like, we, you know, our term that we coined out of that episode was rag on the hag. So, Aaron, what's your perspective on sleep paralysis and the concept of the night hag?
I mean, sleep paralysis is really up in the air for me. I will say I don't think there's any specific rhyme, reason, or methodology behind why it happens. But when it comes to the hag, and I think you'll hear in this story coming up, I'm definitely for the paranormal or demonic side of sleep paralysis. And the reason why I bring this up is because I can't 100% say that through my experiences that I've ever looked or seen something like I've heard in stories, but I fully believe that, and I think you alluded to this a little bit, where you mentioned that if you would have looked up, you know you would have saw something. And I kind of go along in that realm as well. And again, I'll kind of get into it with the stories, but I fully believe that from a paranormal perspective, I think there's a lot of coincidence when it comes to sleep paralysis, or I think there's a lot of merit that really goes along to it, because whether it be a spirit, it could be a negative energy, it could be a positive energy. And that's, I think I'm going to kind of hit both sides on this with my story. I think regardless of how you look at it, there's definitely some form of, I guess I use the word higher power, that comes into this, where it could definitely be a cause outside of, if you look at the National Health Service website, they talk about, oh, it's erratic sleep patterns, it's lack of sleep, it's just different things that can really go into it. But from my perspective, from my personal experience, I really think that there is some kind of paranormal side to what sleep paralysis is all about.
Now, do you think it's based off of what we consume that could potentially cause that sleep paralysis? Because for me, I got sleep paralysis after, I think it was watching The Nun. I had sleep paralysis and then I had a night terror. So personally for me, I think it's a little bit of both. Be a little bit of paranormal, a little bit of your subconscious like fucking with you.
And also adding on to that, it's funny you said like what we consume. I immediately, like, I thought when you said that you were going to reference foods that we eat, but I totally am tracking what you're saying as well. Like the things that we consume in terms of media and our thoughts, like if we read a scary novel or watch a movie, that's the go-to. But for me, I don't know about you guys, if you could talk to this at all, but I've had experiences. If I eat a certain type of food, especially red meat, I have no idea. It must be like an underlying condition. Like if I eat too much salty red meat, I wake up in the middle of the night and I have like stress dreams. I have like borderline night terrors where I'll have this dream where someone's chasing me or something really stressful is happening. But it only happens when I eat really salty meats the night before. And it's something I've gotten used to over the years. So I think that it's like, imagine the wide variety of food that people eat in a certain, like even in certain regions. If you have like an underlying condition, like a genetic makeup or something that you're predisposed to, maybe there is a subsect of people who are more prone to having certain types of waking hallucinatory dreams. So maybe, I mean, I know you were saying that you were doing some research. So Aaron, so maybe you can like add to that if you came across.
So I'm a little curious if that actually goes a little more psychological, because I've definitely seen stuff again, like through the National Health Service, you can look through that website. It does mention that it could be certain types of food you consume. But I'm also curious at the same time, because when it comes to, and again, I'm always speaking from a personal perspective, if I watch like a scary movie at nighttime, or if I feel like I'm kind of like in an eerie setting, I've never experienced sleep paralysis from that perspective. I've only had it from, I like to say my cases are more stress induced. And that's kind of where I can speak of, because I know that if I watched, you know, like Chucky, or if I'm watching a Friday the 13th marathon, I'm more prone to just have bad dreams. I've never really experienced night sleep paralysis from a terroristic standpoint that I feel like I'm effective, but I feel like I'm affected. But I feel like from that perspective, that's why I think this is just such a wide open topic, because there's so many different things that can really be caused in it. And again, you can't sit there and just look online and say, okay, this is what the National Health Service is reporting, and this is from a health standpoint. I think this really comes into like a psychological standpoint, can go to a spiritual standpoint, it can go onto a dietary standpoint. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's really fascinating. There could be so many different breakdowns in terms of what could be the cause of this.
Yeah. And also on top of that, isn't it interesting that when we talk about supposed entities or beings that could, you know, take over your dreams or inject some kind of terrifying experience while you're sleeping, it almost seems like it's too good to be true for a spirit or entity to want to do that for certain people, because like we were just talking about, there could be some people who are genetically predisposed to having stress dreams, even a psychological. It could be food related. Like Chris said, it could be watching a scary movie or something. But like, if you're a spirit or if you're an evil entity, you must have some kind of awareness to kind of inject yourself into certain people, and you must have a motive, right? So like, I just think that it's interesting. Once again, when we talk about the paranormal and supernatural, there's always cases that can be explained, and then there's the cases that can't be explained. And it seems like if there are really entities that can do this, they have a lot of places to hide in the grouping of things that can be explained. It's like, oh, someone has some kind of predisposition to having a night terror because they ate a certain type of food or watched a movie. They might be more prime targets to be taken over by an actual entity as opposed to someone who has nothing going on in their body whatsoever. So I don't know if we're really going to take the conversation seriously about entities versus like what's real and what's not real, then you have to talk about like the other side's perspective, like the evil supernatural side. They must be there must be some kind of awareness of this sort of thing. And I just think that the psychology of the other side is such an interesting topic. But sorry to kind of digress and take it down that road. Feel free to get me back on track with the sleep
paralysis. I like what you said there, because you can really break it down from two different areas, in the sense that what's really the motive behind a demon doing this, or a let's say bad entity? Because there's different situations you can take a look at, and you guys have alluded to this a little bit in your previous episodes where you've talked about the succubus. So sleep paralysis can occur where your body's completely frozen, and then the succubus will sexually take advantage of you. So in that case, there's your motive right there. But on the other side, if there's an entity in the room and you can open your eyes and you're going to physically see something, or you have the visualization of it, but it's just sitting in the corner, like a hat man, for example, what's the rhyme or reason there? What's the motive? Is it there to say, I'm here just to watch you, I'm protecting you? Is it a family member who just wants to come and say hello? Is it, I'm literally just going to be in this room every night because I want to scare the living shit out of you? There's two different sides of it. So I think that's kind of what I like about what you said there, is what's really the motive behind it, because there's instances where you have motive and things happen. Then on the other side, it's, all right, what are you doing here? Are you just trying to fuck with me here?
I feel like that's what my luck would be. Just be like, I wake up and I see like a bleeding, burned ghost and I'm like, what do you want? Yeah, I'll tell you what I want. Fuck you. And he just disappears.
You know what? Fuck you. That's why. I'll be back tomorrow at 2 a.m.
That'd be a great, like a Beetlejuice offshoot, like a really funny, like slightly comical but freaky movie to do, like a ghost that just like fucks with people because he's angry.
It could literally be like, so you see those TikTok videos where somebody just like runs up into the camera and then they stick their middle finger up and they're like, ha, fuck you. I feel like that's the scenario.
Yeah, that's all it is. Aliens and Bigfoot and all that. That's just fuck you. That's all it is.
That's all it is. Oh, that's great. So why don't you talk about your sleep paralysis stories that you experienced between, what did you say, 2019 and 2021? That's what, 2 years?
It's definitely 2 years. I mean, I can say confidently that I've had experiences prior to that, but there's nothing that really stuck out to me. Nothing that really said, all right, something's going on here that I don't know what it is. Because I would have bouts on and off, but it wasn't serious. But I would say between 2019 and 2021 was the really bad time frame when it was happening a lot. And so I talked about earlier that you can see it from a positive standpoint, or you can see it from a negative standpoint. So the first point that I kind of wanted to touch on was, and this is the very first one that ever really stuck out to me. And you, Chris, you've met my family. You know how spiritual my family is. Both my stepfather and my mom are ordained. My stepdad is actually the pastor of a church, and my mom she got ordained about a year ago. So from that standpoint, there's a lot of spirituality in my family. But what was interesting is back in 2019, my grand passed away in October of that year. And it was the night my grand passed away. And I remember like going to bed that night, you know, just being super sad, but, you know, it's just happy she wasn't really suffering anymore. So I woke up, it had to be around 2 a.m, if I remember correctly, it was a little after 2. And in this instance, I was laying in bed and I was on my side and my eyes opened and I couldn't move. And I'm like, all right, this sucks. Like, what do I got to do? And I didn't feel scared at first. And then all of a sudden, this feeling just came across me. And it wasn't a feel, I would say maybe for like 2 or 3 seconds, that feeling was, oh man, like this isn't good. But then that quickly actually vanished. And again, like I'm on my side. And Chris, you remember my old apartment where my bed was. If I'm laying on my side, I'm literally looking down into my walk-in closet. And there was the bathroom right there. I couldn't move my head. I can only move my eyes, but I could not move my eyes to the point that I could adjust my head to see to the front of the bedroom. But I just remember in my head, there was something there, or I felt a presence in the room. And this probably lasted for about 15 to 20 seconds, but I'm not sure if you guys, I think Dean, you said you've experienced sleep paralysis before.
Yeah. So I won't go into detail until you're done, but I'll just say that I have had waking hallucinations, but I've talked about them in the podcast before, and there's only one that like Chris kind of glommed onto earlier with the lizard people. But and my personal belief, which I'll share in detail what they were again in a little bit after you, but I will say that I don't really hold, I don't think there's any certainty about them. I don't think they actually were anything that was really there. I think it was just hallucination. Okay. But anyway.
So you kind of know, like, all right, once you're in a position, there's no moving. Like you can't even yell. You can't even scream. Yeah. You can't get anything out. So I was just fixed in that position. And it was one of those things where, again, it was the first time where if I'm able to move, something's going to be here. And it seemed like it just lasted forever. But again, it's 15, 20 seconds tops. And then I slowly started gaining movement and I was able to move again. And then I fell back asleep, rest of the night, no issues. I say this because there are bouts of sleep paralysis that I've had where I've literally woken up 10 minutes after I fell back asleep and I was paralyzed again. Or I could be half asleep, not even asleep, and I can already feel my body starting to shut down where I have partial movement, but I'm not quite there yet. So in this instance, that wasn't the case, but I went right back to sleep. So I talked to my mom the next day because this is my mom's stepmother who passed away. And I was just talking to my mom. She was like, how you been feeling? I'm like, you know, it's definitely struggling. I was like, but, you know, as you know, I struggle with sleep paralysis off and on time to time. And said, I had a bout last night and I just had this weird feeling and never heard my mom say this before in my life in regards to talking about whether it be a spirit or someone who's passed away, whatever it might be. But without hesitation, my mom goes, how's your gram coming to tell you goodbye? And she's okay. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, I didn't really think about it because I was just like so consumed in what's going on. But like, it really hit me then. And again, like, I can't say that was the case. But for me, in my beliefs and the spirituality I have, I want to use that as a positive perspective to be able to say that I couldn't be around my grandma at that point. I couldn't see her to say my goodbye. That was her coming to me and saying, hey, I'm okay. I'm here. You're going to be fine. Goodbye for now.
That's beautiful, man. I'm sorry that you experienced that loss, but that's awesome that, like, you know, not a lot of people get that kind of closure. And even though, you know, we're all rational people, so there's, you know, we'll never know for sure. I mean, there's people who just blindly accept and say, but it's beautiful that you had that experience and that it's definitely possible and that you had a family member who's still around kind of like support you with that. So that's awesome. I just have to say real quickly, there's this interesting concept about spirits that kind of come into other people's lives, good or bad. And there's almost this freezing point where, and I have to wonder, like, whenever the individual experiences these things, like you with sleep paralysis and presumably someone visiting you from the other side and other people with similar stories, like you just can't move your body. And I wonder if there's a reason. And it's not just spirits. It's also like, you know, stories with aliens, you know, coming down and doing experiments or whatever supernatural or metaphysical experience you want to talk about, people just can't move. So I almost wonder if there's like this thing in the universe, the makeup of the universe, where like if you have that presence near you, or if you have that force that's harnessed nearby you, it has a direct impact on your brain. So like, let's say, you know, she did actually come visit you. Being frozen and not being able to move is scary as shit. That's right. You know, it's super scary. And if she was coming back in a loving way to say goodbye, presumably she wouldn't want you to suffer. So maybe that's just a side effect that isn't intentional whenever something supernatural shows up and you can't move your body.
So here's another kind of interesting thing to be able to piggyback off of that, because you brought up something about, you know, you being paralyzed and not being able to see them. I kind of also have a thought along the lines of, and maybe this is where you start going into a theological side of thinking that maybe that you're not supposed to see these people, because that is the belief that's instilled in you, saying that you don't need to see me. I don't need to show physical proof to you. But in your heart, I know you believe that there's going to be another life after this. And you believe that my physical presence is here. And I'm able to tell you these things because down the line, I'm going to see you again one day. That's something that always kind of like stuck with me a little bit. I don't know what you guys maybe think about that in regards to not being able to have a physical sight whenever you have a positive experience like that. But it kind of falls more along the belief realm, whether it be coming from that family member who maybe shares that same ideology, or even to, you know, God himself.
I think that that's likely. If there really is another side that's kind of acting in such a way, because if you think about it, like we're sitting here talking amongst ourselves, not knowing any of this information, just speculating. And this kind of goes along the lines of like, say, like an evil. I always had this same mantra that I always bring up. I always have to bring it up to someone who might know more than me about these things. But it's like whenever something is evil, like let's say someone dies and they're haunting you and they become a poltergeist and it's like they're terrorizing you. And it's just the worst experience of your life. And you're like, wait a minute, how did they get their power? if I died, how do you find enough power to reach back into this life? I mean, it has to be gotten from somewhere, because none of the three of us have any power beyond like, you know, moving and speaking and acting in this world. So, but on the beautiful side, you know, like you're just saying, someone to come visit you after they passed away and saying goodbye, they too must have found a way to harness that. So that is another interesting concept that is actually kind of frightening as well. And that kind of goes along the lines of saying like I've heard stories where people have loved ones pass away and then their favorite bird will show up on their windowsill the next morning or something. And I've actually talked, this isn't just hearsay, like I've actually talked to people who have experienced that firsthand. I guess as you get older, you have to question like, how many degrees of separation. But when you hear a story that comes directly from like, say you, Aaron, or like someone that I knew where the bird shows up, I give it way more credibility to that kind of experience. And I think that as I get older, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this as well, where you believe more in something just because you have more and more people getting older, more and more people dying around you. And these experiences are really coming to fruition. So that's just kind of weird.
Yeah, I wanted to piggyback off of what you just said, Dean. And I know we talked about this briefly on our, I think it was the reincarnation podcast we did, where we talked about souls and stuff like that. And you brought up a good question of how, if someone dies, can they interact and manipulate our 3D material space? It makes me think back to what we thought about, in the sense that, could it be a possibility that when someone does pass away and their soul leaves their body, they regain all of that universal knowledge that is out there in all the different planes of existence or different dimensions? Because I think there's over 30 dimensions, whatever, and we can only interact in our three-dimensional world. That's something that comes to mind for me. That's where my mind goes to when it comes to something like that. But I don't want to go down too deep of a rabbit hole with this stuff, because I know we could end up being here for 3 hours and I don't think we all have time to dedicate to that, even though I would love to one day, just like a straight up crazy deep dive pod
marathon,
clear our schedules. Yeah. Marathon, chop it up into a few episodes or just release it as episode one big 100. Ass episode. Aaron, you said you experienced that bout of sleep paralysis. that was more on the positive side. So why don't you tap into a little bit of what you might think is possibly negative experiences with sleep paralysis?
So I'm going to go in a couple different directions with this, and it's going to encompass probably the other topic points that we wanted to go into that kind of go into this discussion. So to just give you a little bit of background, 2020 fall that year, right around Thanksgiving, my previous relationship I was in, we moved in together and we had a place here in Pennsylvania. So when I moved in, you know, I feel like I'm pretty thorough in terms of inspecting the place, just taking a look at it, you know, making sure nothing's wrong, you know, whether that be dents in the wall, cracks, anything broken, you know, because when you run a place, you got to get that inspection sheet, you got to give that feedback. So that way, whenever you decide to move out eventually, get that security deposit back. So never really saw anything that stuck out to me. I'll kind of start with this story first. With my previous relationship, the person I was seeing at the time, random out of the blue one day, just told me that she had started reading tarot cards or using tarot cards. And I found that a little curious because person wasn't spiritual, you know, didn't really have a faith or a belief all that much. Never really got a chance to go deep in discussions, but I just kind of knew based off of what we had talked about. So I found it very fascinating, you know, why are you reading tarot cards? And the response was just like, you know what? Yeah, I saw people doing this online. And I know, Chris, this kind of harkens back to your episode with both your sister and your cousin who were, you know, giving their feedback on, you know, people who do that stuff and how stupid it is because of what it can.
Exactly. As a fad. Yeah. Yeah. Because of what it can do, what it can open. Okay. I don't care who I piss off. If you do not know how to fucking read tarot cards, do not fucking use them. You're not a witch. You're not trendy. You're not this special type of magical fucking person. Just like Ouija boards, if you don't know what the fuck you're doing, it can end up badly.
Dude, we're going to lose our base.
Dude, I don't give a shit. Dude, I am just echoing the sentiments that I get from my mother,
yeah,
my aunts, my sister, my cousin, and my cousin that I don't know whether y'all believe this shit or not, but apparently she gets downloads from spirit and she's like super into that stuff. When she does her readings, dude, she is super fucking accurate. And then you have the people on TikTok that pull a card like, you came across this page because this card I pulled is for you. Like, motherfucker, that's not how that shit works.
Or it's just all the idiots out there who say, oh, you pulled the death card.
Yeah, where it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to fucking die.
There's a really funny show. I don't know if it's a Simpsons or something, but it's like, I think like someone went up to they pulled the death card. They're like, oh no, that's bad. And then another person who's reading or like showing the tarot cards, you're like, oh no, that's just change. That's just death is just change. And then she pulls another card and it's like a happy like clown or something. And she's like, oh boy, a clown. And it's like, oh, you got the clown. That's the worst thing ever. You're going to die.
Oh, literally pulls out a picture of Krusty.
But Krusty with a rib witch made of a spider, but but I digress from my rant. Sometimes I can't really help myself.
It falls into that category though, what you're just talking about, because again, like this person had no idea what they were doing. Like, I'm just kind of curious, like trying to figure out, like, what are you reading tarot cards? But also, where did you figure out what to do with it? So I was like, listen, I was like, I've listened to enough stuff. I've read enough stuff. Like, stop messing with this. You don't know what it can do. And I gave the example of Ouija boards. I was like, you know, Ouija boards can open up portals. You know, it's there's the old additive. You yell Bloody Mary into a mirror so many times, it can open up different things. So all that different stuff. So not long after this, I remember coming home one day and she was like, hey, she's like, I want to show you something. And walk up to the top of the steps. So you walk into the townhome we were in and you walk up to the top of the steps, takes you a landing. And off to the right was just a barren white wall. And on the wall, and obviously those of you listening, you can't see what I'm doing. But what it looked like is somebody had their hands like this, and they just went down like a perfect semicircle on the wall. Now, it wasn't fingerprints. I will mention that. It was not big enough to be fingerprints because I didn't touch it, but I kind of put my hands up to it and I'm like, interesting. It literally looked like nail marks. And the nail marks, like, and that's where I was a little hesitant to want to touch it, but I did touch it. I wanted to make sure because, again, that could be somebody physically doing that. Could have been her for what I know. There was nothing there of chipped paint, nothing. Like, this literally looked like somebody had, let's say, like, oil on their fingernails, and they just would have done this, but it was, like, very faint. So I'm like, all right, this is a little interesting. But again, like, you know, I digress. I was kind of sitting there thinking, I was like, maybe it was there the whole time. I just didn't see it. Who knows? Whatever. But then, like, after that, that I remember specifically that night, and then starting to go in a little bit after that, went to sleep that night. We didn't have a TV in the bedroom. It was just pitch ass black. And that night, I woke up with really bad bouts of sleep paralysis. The first one I woke up to, just a normal bout. Nothing major, nothing happened. I fell back asleep probably, you know, within 5 minutes. But within about a half hour, I woke up again. And as soon as I woke up, I was petrified. I've never felt so scared like that before. And it was that feeling where, kind of like what you guys talked about before, where if I would have looked up, there's something there. And I just had that bad, bad feeling. So again, I couldn't move. And usually, and this is probably the Catholic in me, but usually anytime I kind of get frightened like that, or I feel like that, okay, something just seems off, I do my cross. I'm Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's the first thing I do, and then I go into the Lord's Prayer. Or I just start quoting something, and instantly, right away, I'm just praying to Jesus. I'm like, Lord, whatever's here, please protect me. Please protect her. Like, I'm just sitting there. And again, this 15, 20 seconds probably tops, but it seemed like it was an eternity. And then I slowly started to come out of it. As soon as I got up, I didn't immediately turn, but I just kind of laid there for a few seconds. And I kind of, like, you know, got that confidence that I just sat up, looked around, nothing. Got out of bed, walked around, went downstairs. Just I had to get myself up because I was so freaked out. So I came back in, laid back down, threw my AirPods in, just listened to a podcast, and I was back out. But that was the one time where I literally had the fear of God in me, that I was like, something's going on here. And I remember specifically the next day, I was like, hey, I had a really bad bout last night, and I don't know about you, but I felt like something was here. And she was like, well, you know, when I did my last tarot reading, the reading came out and said that there's something in this house. And I'm like, what do you mean there's something in this house? And she, and again, this is the stupidity of it. It was, there's no explanation behind it. There's no, hey, this is what's going on. It was, oh, it just came out that there's something in this house. So I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, all right, either one, you just did something really stupid here, or number two, you're just a moron who doesn't know what you're talking about, and I probably just freaked myself out last night. But after that, I would have slight experiences where that was the worst of it, but as it started going on, I would just start getting more and more bouts of sleep paralysis. It was becoming more frequent. And again, I can't attest it to that, but I will tell you that anytime I would ask the question or be brought up that, oh, hey, did another reading today, I'm literally instantly enraged. I'm just like, I was like, I told you to stop doing it. Get them out of here, throw them away, burn them. I don't care what you got to do. Get it out of here. Stop it now. And it was just completely ignored. It was almost like I got looked at like from somebody who was a witch, and they're like cackling at me and they thought it was funny. And it wasn't a joke to me because I really thought that, okay, if you're really doing this and whatever you're doing is working, this is bringing something here and I'm paying for it for some reason. So I'm going to stop there for a second. Anybody wants to chime in?
I will say, listening to that story that you just shared with us just gave me chills and gave me flashbacks. I got goosebumps, and I don't get goosebumps easily listening to stuff like that because I'm a horror junkie, as you know. The one thing that I could think of is what JJ said when I was listening to one of his shows with Father Birdsong, who's an exorcist in Georgia. And they basically said, I don't remember it verbatim, but essentially it says that they said that the demonic doesn't need for you to invite them in by saying, hey, please come on in. It's how you interact and what you do. So her pulling those cards, whenever, from my understanding, from what I've been told by my family members that have been doing tarot longer than some of these social media people have been alive, you essentially open up a portal like you do with a Ouija board, and you are messing with spirits. You are messing with entities. Her just partaking in that. Now, we're going off the assumption that she didn't know what she was doing. By that notion, we could logically say that she didn't know what she was doing and her messing with this welcomed something in. When she told you that the cards told her something was in the house, it might have been in that moment when she messed with those cards that's told her there was something in this house, welcomed something into the home without her knowing about it, therefore making it much more worse. And what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to attack the person of faith. They're going to attack the person that is petrified, that is unsured. So that's kind of, to me, that's how it goes. They're going to target the other person. Maybe I'm not trying to accuse anything. Maybe she was trying to get to you. Based off of what I knew about her, wasn't the greatest of persons. Might have been trying to manipulate you and affect you in some sort of way. That could attack you psychologically. And that could have been one of the methods.
So in that word you just brought up, so that, I mean, this is where you can dissect and you can really just have a dichotomy about it, is it could go one of two ways. It could be, like you said, didn't know what you were doing. This opened up a portal. This has started happening. Other side, you can sit on the other side of the fence. And again, there's no rhyme or reason or there's no logic to it. You can literally say that from a psyche standpoint, and especially her knowing that I would listen to cryptid paranormal podcasts, all these different things. I like these things. Oh, hey, I'm doing this. And this is what I found out. And that just gets into my head. And then all of a sudden that just starts getting my brain going. And I'm like, all right, here we go. And then my brain is starting to mess with me at that point. So again, you can dissect it probably four ways from Sunday, whatever it is. But yeah, it was just really an interesting experience. And like I said, there's kind of not a little more to that, but there's a continuation of the story. But like I said, I just wanted to kind of stop there since I was talking about, you know, certain areas for a certain amount of time. And
before you continue, Aaron, what are your thoughts, Dean? I'm curious to hear what you think about this.
I will ask a question first that I wanted to prod a little bit more into that I thought was really interesting, was the physical manifestation that you saw on the wall that, you know, may or may not have been there before, but still it was something you noticed, and it seemed like it was something that, you know, weighed on you at least a little bit after that experience started to kind of spiral. So two questions for you. First one is, what if in your wildest heart of hearts, like the craziest thing you could possibly imagine, what did you think that could have been? Like a poltergeist or something, some entity, or like maybe some whatever, what went through your mind when you saw that? Were you thinking like a spirit, creature, or something, whatever? And then the second question I would ask is, as things progressed and you started to get more bouts of sleep paralysis, what were you feeling psychologically? Did you start to wonder if you needed to go get help, or like, did you start to explore the house a little bit more, or like did did you kind of just try to shut it out? I'm just interested, like, your psychological perspective right now.
Yeah. So the first thing I immediately went to was, I'm not going to use the word demon, but I'll say like ghost or spirit, but it was more on the negative side. So we'll just go with demon. There is something with a bad presence here that had done that. And then from there, I had a lot of different thoughts and emotions that kind of went through it. At one point, I thought that maybe I just needed to talk to somebody about it. Maybe I do need to talk to a psychologist to kind of see what's going on. But I will tell you, and this is kind of where the story was progressing to, is it just seemed like that the place in general carried a very heavy negative energy. And I honestly can't sit here and say that's why. The first thing I go to is just, it was just such a toxic relationship that there was just so much anger and resentment that was going on, but also at the two and same time, Chris, I kind of mentioned this to you, is whenever people let's say have those presences, spirits, apparitions kind of in your vicinity, in your home, kind of, you know, part of your life at that point, that can also be pressed onto you as well, to where you start being overtaken by this negative energy, to the point to where it was a lot of anger, a lot of negative emotions, a lot of, I can even say going into bouts of depression, where it just felt like that it was getting so bad that you have to get away. You got to try to figure out, all right, how is this going to change? And again, you could say it's that, but also on the other side, I always just alluded to is that it was just such a bad relationship that things just weren't good. And this is what was causing all that resentment, all these other things. But there was just such a heavy and negative energy in that place, to the fact that where, again, whether that other person was there or not, and I mean, like I said, my ex-partner, regardless, I did notice that anytime I would leave the house, it's kind of like a weight was lifted off your shoulder, like you're just getting out of that environment.
Seems like it could be what we talked about in the past, Chris, where like a tulpa sort of event where you materialize something to the degree that you actually physically bring something into the reality, whether to fix to that negative emotion or you kind of generate it yourself. But I really think, like, even though I'm largely skeptical on a lot of the stuff that we talk about, I think that is something that is quite possible. You know, like there's a degree of actual energy that surrounds us. And we know that's a fact because we, you know, can measure in animals, you know, like they can run away. Animals can fly away from something like a volcano or an earthquake or whatever going off. They have no way to explain what it means. They just know it's time to get out of here. And I think that humans probably have that capability too. And maybe even more so because of our intelligence and our complexities in our brains. So who's to say that, you know, there wasn't something in the house to begin with that got stronger because of the negative energy that was in that house when you brought it in there? So interesting perspective.
And Chris, I know you're probably going to chime in here too, but I would say out of anybody, you probably have, I would say, a good idea of what I'm talking about here. Because I think you yourself have talked about this, but also to your family members as well. It seems like you all have that, I don't know if I want to use the word gift, but you all have that feature in you that you can really pick up that there's a presence there. Like you can feel there's something here. And you've talked about this a lot, to where, again, like we've gone to Gettysburg, we've gone to Antietam, we've gone to these places where such atrocities have happened, and you're just overcome with emotion and you just feel such a heaviness on you that, man, this is just something not good is here. I just feel that there's something that we shouldn't be here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Especially when we do go to battlefields like Antietam and Gettysburg. Most recently, we visited Manassas back in April. And I don't know if you recall this, but when we were at Manassas, we ran into a group of guys. They were football fans as well. We were wearing our Liverpool stuff, and I think they were Arsenal fans. When you see another group of guys supporting another club from the same league, you know, we banter each other. Like we bantered for about 30 seconds and then they went off, did whatever they did, continued their tours, whatever, right? Looking at how they toured the place compared to how we toured the place, where it's just, by the way, folks, this was like at 1 in the fucking afternoon. It was like 90 degrees in Virginia heat. These dudes were like chipper, happy, you know, taking pictures with monuments and stuff like that. I know you were taking pictures, and me, I'm just walking around kind of like sulking. Like I had like a sad look on my face, and it's just like, fuck. It just the place just feels horrible. And it's like, yeah, of course it's going to feel horrible because a battle took place there. Thousands of people died there. But if you take the time to observe how other people behave in those environments, you can tell very easily who has what you would say those quote unquote gifts. I wouldn't call them gifts because I don't like feeling what I feel. I don't like hearing my name randomly being called and no one not being there. I hate that shit like 100%. There are other people in my family that can see stuff. I'm kind of like Dean. I like to take the scientific approach, even though I had these experiences. For me, I would like to say that there has to be some sort of scientific explanation to everything. But sometimes, you know, I can't tell you that answer. But just looking at those people, see how they react, you can immediately tell who can feel what. And like, we didn't go to this place in Gettysburg, but there was a house in Gettysburg that you can tour that was used as a field hospital for the Confederates. I toured that house with my wife for the first time I went to Gettysburg. She's walking through there. There's a tour guide dressed in period regalia. They're talking, yada, having a good time. And the entire time I'm like, I just want to get the fuck out of here. I just want to get the fuck out of here. The atmosphere to me was so thick, and I was not the Gettysburg heat. It just felt like something was like pushing down on my shoulders. And as soon as I walked out of that house, it was gone. So yeah, I definitely know what you mean.
And that's certainly how I felt. And the reason why I say, like, again, I can't really explain what the reasoning was behind it, but I can tell you, since removing myself from that area, from the situation, like whatever it was, I've had 2 bouts of sleep paralysis in the last 2 years total, versus probably, you can tally it up, between 19 and 2021. I would probably say probably minimum, at least I can probably account, just remember just waking up on and off, having that feeling like 20 times, whatnot. And honestly, like I said, I had the negative experience in the sense that I felt like something was there. But I think this is where you kind of start looking into, all right, what is the rhyme and reason behind what this happens? I always say too, it alluded to a lot of stress from my standpoint, because again, since I've been out of that situation, just having those bouts twice, I've had, outside of job stress, maybe a little bit of family stress outside of that, but nothing major that was really impacting my life. I haven't had really any stress in my life. And that has really, I've seen the difference in terms of this not happening anymore. So I think it's a really interesting facet and study that you can really sit there and look at and dissect in terms of why this happens. But I mean, I've just really come to this realization recently that, yeah, there are things that happen from a spiritual level, but outside of that, there's definitely a lot of physical elements that go into why sleep paralysis occurs. So I'm glad it doesn't happen anymore. Thankfully, I can say, you know, especially since, you know, now I've been with my wife, I've only had 1 bout of sleep paralysis since I've known her. And maybe, I don't know, maybe, and again, you and I have had this discussion, maybe it had something to do with my old apartment too at the time, because I got probably 2 of those bouts of sleep paralysis in my old apartment. But outside of that, I think it's just, a lot of it has to do with a big removal of stress. But I don't know, I sit there and wonder a lot that, hey, maybe there was something in that place that was causing for this to be able to happen.
Why don't you share what happened in that apartment with your tattoo? I know you shared that story already, but that was like 30 episodes ago.
Yeah.
So, and Dean wasn't part of the show at the time. So go ahead.
Yeah. So on my lower arm, back in February of 2022, I had my upper arm done on my left arm, and I decided that I want to get the lower part of my arm done. Well, one side of my lower arm, I got this, I mean, it's a demon on my arm. And it's got horns coming out of it. It's cloaked in just these demonic looking robe. Inside of it is just completely black, so you can't see through it. So I got this done, and Chris is like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you, but you're just asking for trouble. He was like, you're just.
I bet your parents love that one, man. What did your parents say?
Something about that. Holy shit. They haven't even said anything to it. They just asked me why I got it.
And, to ignore it.
And they're just like, oh, okay. It's funny because, like, even though from a religious standpoint, like, my stepdad and my mom don't believe in tattoos and what they really stand for, they always tell me, and this is why I love my family so much, is because they're like, listen, even though we don't agree with it, if you have a reason for getting it done, good for you. So that was always kind of their thinking.
That's cool.
But but Chris is like, he's like, you're just asking for trouble. He was like, you're gonna have something show up. He's like, you're gonna have attachment. he's just putting all these thoughts in my head. And while I know that he was just trying to do it the fuck with me, at the same time, I know there's some belief Chris. To it as well. So, you know, I go and get it done. I send.
I can't help it.
So I send Chris the picture after it's done. And he was like, man, he was like, you're fucked now. He's like, it's going to happen. So again, I think I just got into my head, but it was probably around 3 o'clock that night. It was strangely warm for being February in Pennsylvania. So I left my window maybe like a quarter cracked open, and I just had blinds covering the window. I was awoken by my bathroom door just slamming shut. And I mean, this thing went boom. And I jumped up, immediately turned on all the lights, turned on the TV. Like, I was so freaked out by it. And the first thing that I thought was, this motherfucker. Like, look what he did to me. And then, so, like I said, he still believes that there's something to it. I say it was a windy night. Even though my window was only a quarter cracked, I still think there was enough gust in there to be able to get to the door. However, though, I will say this, and Chris will know this as well, where the window was situated, it would take a pretty damn strong wind to be able to get to that bathroom door for it to slam shut. So I don't know what happened.
It could have been a vacuum effect. So when I was in Kobe, I went to Kobe with my family recently as part of our trip to Japan, and we stayed in this really old onsen, which if you're not familiar, an onsen is basically like a bathhouse where you can also stay like in a hotel, but the building was really old. So when I was staying there, I'm like, okay, if some scary shit's going to happen in Japan to me, it's going to happen here. Cause this place is like 100 years old. Everything in the room was like old school decor. Like imagine staying in an old log cabin, you know, things were not run down, but you could tell they were antiquated. So we were in the bedroom. There are two sets of doors. There's one leading out to like the onsen area in the bathroom. And then the other one is leading out into like the foyer and like the living room area. And, I think I had one like slightly closed and the other one, I went out to go to the bathroom and I opened the door like rapidly on one side. And then the other door just immediately like, kaboom, like just slapped shut as hard as possible. And my wife looks at me and she's like, what the fuck? Like, what's happening? Like that? What? And I'm like, okay, hold on. And I walk over and I open the door and I prop it the same way. And then I go over to the other door and I open it the same way and boom again. So, it's possible. Like, I think it's, you know, I wasn't there. So it's possible that some shit happened to you that was unexplainable, but there's also a suction effect. Doesn't just have to be wind. I just had to get that out there.
I also feel that secretly Chris has some kind of magical power where he just summons things. And he can say, I'm not going to attach it to you, but hey, go get him tonight. And then after that, leave him alone.
one less demon to go after Chris. That's his game.
Dude, if I had that ability to summon shit, dude, we'd all have so much money. So that throws that idea out the window.
So $5 million man.
Right. So I kind of want to ask you guys, like, cause, you know, I got a chance to tell my stories, and Chris, I don't even know if you and I've had the opportunity to talk about this, but kind of wanted to just like open it up to you both and really just kind of ask like your opinions or thoughts on why you think sleep paralysis occurs and what type of reasonings do you feel really go into it? Do you think it's a physical thing? Do you think it's a mental thing? Do you think it's a spiritual thing? Where do you kind of sit on that side of the fence with it?
Before I answer your question, I would like to talk about your old apartment real quick. That place was very fucking unsettling for some reason. Anytime I would come by to your place, and Will would come with us as well, so it'd be the three of us there. Dude, for some reason, like, anytime I stayed there, I refused to sleep with the TV off. There had to be some sort of light. I don't know why, but that little hallway that connected your bedroom to your bathroom door was just a little extra dark compared to everywhere else in that apartment. Even during the daytime with all of your shades open, it just felt
so uncomfortable. I'm curious now, has Willie ever said anything about this? Or is this just kind of what you experienced.
It's just kind of what I experienced. Will is the type of guy, as you know, he'll just roll with the punches. He's really good at, like, oh, whatever. I don't give a shit. Unless it, like comes up to him and, like, a ghost, like, dick slaps him with the dick, a ghost dick or something. He's not going to, he's going to be like, whatever. Like, it is what it is. He doesn't pay any credence to it. I know when we were in high school, he was very much like an atheist, but now he's gotten more spiritual. Maybe he got that feeling, but you know how I am. I get those feelings. I don't know.
So I feel like there's a story here before you answer about sleep paralysis. Have you been smacked by ghost dick before?
No.
Like, if we go on TikTok, are there stories about this? Because I...
Not that Chris knows of. I mean, you know.
Not that I know. No. That's being edited out.
There's your next question for JJ.
Right. Have you ever been slapped by a ghost stick? But yeah, dude, your old apartment was creepy. The one previous to that with the big-ass mirror on the wall, that one was fine. There was never... really anything there. I always found that weird.
Yeah, it was very odd how that was set up. But you figure that would have been the creepier of the two because there's just mirrors on like three quarters of the wall. But
I too think there might have been some wind at play with your door slamming. But knowing the layout of your apartment and the layout of your bedroom and how it connects to the bathroom, I think you summoned something.
I mean, with that tattoo. Again, like I can't say I'm going to sit there and disagree because I will tell you is because, again, if I'm laying on my side, which I like to do when I sleep, and that's the direction I'm looking because I always like to sleep on my right side. And if I'm sleeping on my right side, I would be facing the bathroom door. And inside that bathroom, it's pitch black. And again, I always used to creep myself out because I, you know, watch TikTok videos or see stuff on YouTube or whatever. And all of a sudden, like there's like this black room and then there's these red eyes and then boom, they disappear. So I would always freak myself out with stuff like that. So I would keep my door, like, I wouldn't close it all the way. I would leave it slightly cracked, but I'd close it enough to where I could see no blackness to where if I woke up in the middle of the night, I feel like I'm going to open my eyes. I'm like, oh shit, there's something standing there staring at me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I hope you never saw red eyes in your bathroom, but
no, I did.
Okay, but good.
I've just seen again, hoax videos, whatever they are, but you see those videos about, could be a physical thing, it could be red eyes, it could be whatever it is, but they're there and then boom, they disappear real quick.
But back to your sleep paralysis question, I'll say very quickly that I think it's a mixture of both. I think it can be paranormal and it can be psychological at the same time. Reason being is because there are stories all over the world throughout centuries, perhaps even thousands of years, even with cultures that have never met one another and encountered each other, that have stories of sleep paralysis and stories of night hags, and they have different names for them. So that's where I tend to teeter onto the paranormal side. Okay, there might be a paranormal side to this, that there might be a night hag that preys on certain type of people or something of that sort. On the psychological side, it can also be stress-induced. It can also be affected by what you consume with your food, like with Dean, and also what you consume with your media, like with me when I watched The Nun and I was on like a horror movie kick and I got my first bout of sleep paralysis ever. To me, it's hard to tell because I think there is truth to both of it. Because the person that shares their story saying they have sleep paralysis and they wake up and they see a night hag on them and this hag is tearing at their skin and they think it's a dream, but then they wake up the next day and then there's like scratch marks on their chest that don't look human and they're like very deep gashes and they sleep alone, you know, the stuff like that, that they can't really attribute to. Like, you could say, oh, they scratch themselves, but when you go and look at it, and it's like, why does this look like a fucking claw mark from a gargoyle? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's really hard to discern what's what, because people can easily, like Dean says, people make shit up just to make shit up, just to be included. So it's really hard to tell. But I think the logical answer is that it really can be based off of what you consume. It could be based off of your stress. It could be based off of the media you like to entrench yourself in. And also, it definitely could be paranormal based off of the history of the concept of the night hag. But I'll toss it over to you, Dean. What are your thoughts on that?
From a broad perspective, I have to say there must be something to this. No matter how much skepticism I throw at this, I have to concede that. I mean, there have been scientific studies that have looked at things like this. They're like organized, intelligent, well-funded studies that have dived into or dove into the human psychology and the power to which we can generate or access information outside of our three-dimensional space or whatever you want to talk about. Like, I do think that there is something to it. Have I experienced it? Not to the degree of, like, you know, paranormal, but I just had sleep paralysis, like, what, I think 3 nights ago, and I almost never get it anymore. So it's actually interesting that we had this podcast today and I had it a couple of days ago. But, you know, for me, I'll talk about how, like, what my experience is real quick with sleep paralysis. When I have it, I essentially come out of sleep into my own dark mind, and I'm aware that I'm awake. I'm aware of myself, and I'm still tired. I still, you know, I'm not ready to get up yet, but I'm still very much aware of myself. So it's not a dream, but I can't move my body. And maybe I can move a little bit. And then I have this thought in my head as I'm, like, dozing off. I'm like, if I don't move my body and make myself wake up, I'm going to die this way. Like, my body, it feels like if I let my brain slip into sleep from that state, then I will die. And then I have to fight a tooth and nail to make myself move again. And most of the time I can get myself to move again. And then I've had this happen, you know, enough times in my life, and I'm old enough to know that nothing's going to happen. I just kind of readjust and then fall asleep a normal way. But it's so, it's such a strange psychological perspective when I know that I'm not going to die. Like, when I'm awake, this is totally awake Dean right now. I know that I'm not going to die when that happens. But when I do experience that, it feels like if I let myself slip into sleep from that state, I'm going to pass away. So I just had that a few nights ago. That's one type of sleep paralysis that I've experienced. The other one is the hallucinatory sleep paralysis, where I'm coming out of sleep and I can't move. And I think I talked about this in a previous podcast, but the first ever one I experienced was when I was maybe, I think I was like 10 or 11. And it was the first night I spent away from my home because my mom was traveling. I was at my aunt's house in a strange bed in a house that I never spent the night in before. And I woke up to the sound of a rattlesnake, or what sounded like a rattlesnake, and I couldn't move. And I immediately thought as a kid, like, uh-oh, you know, I'm going to die. I got bit by a snake. I can't move, because I had never experienced the paralysis before. But then in like a minute later, I was able to move and I looked around. There was no bite marks, no rattlesnakes. And to this day, I just knew that was a sleep paralysis moment. And then the last story that I'll share that's just kind of funny is, you mentioned Chucky earlier. I don't know if that was intentional, because I did talk about one of my sleep hallucination states that I had when I was a kid, where I woke up and next to my bed was Chucky standing at the foot of my, or the side of my bed, looking at me menacingly. And I literally was awake. This was not a dream. Like, I was superimposing the image of Chucky at my bedside. And that was a terrifying experience, but also kind of funny, because at the same time I knew, like, Chucky wasn't real. So I'm like, why am I dreaming this? And then, of course, Chris's favorite, the lizard man who stood in the corner of my room, also had that experience where I woke up and there was like a 6 foot tall lizard creature on a bipedal
lizard people,
bipedal lizard creature in the corner of my room, just staring at me. And, if I had to pick one supernatural or UFO based or alien, whatever, like, experience in my life, I would say, okay, maybe that was something, because I don't remember ever seeing any media or reading any stories or whatever that met the description, fit the description of that creature I saw in the corner of my room. So maybe it really was an alien visiting me for whatever stupid reason. Hopefully he was just checking me out and it's like, okay, let me look at this kid real quick. Is he worth abducting and probing? no, he's too fat. And then they just leave. That's my
hope. It was Dr. Connor from Spider-Man.
Yeah. Let's go with Dr. Connor from Spider-Man. And he wanted to recruit me and thought I was too fat. So he left.
It must have been a happy accident with Chucky because I totally forgot about that story, but remember hearing about it in the previous episode. Really. So it's interesting that I did mention that. But also, too, you mentioned hallucination. Funny enough, I was listening to a podcast on the way home from work today, and they were actually talking about forms of sleep paralysis where people have out-of-body experiences. And what it really comes down to is they know they're in sleep paralysis. They're in that present state that they know they can't move, but they can also feel themselves floating above their body or being able to see around the room or whatever it is. So it's really fascinating that from that type of sense that with hallucinations, you can, like you said, you can either imagine up things or you could physically see something, or you could literally come out and have a complete out of body experience. And the reason why I found it so fascinating is because the guy on the podcast was doing a theological breakdown that just happened to be able to talk about this. And he broke it down from a biblical perspective about certain books that actually talk about in the Bible and books not in the Bible that actually to go into sleep paralysis and what that means for like present day, almost like predicting, using it as a kind of a callback to one of our previous episodes, Chris, End of Times, which that was very interesting, but I'm not even going to go into that whole side of it because I still need to finish that part of the podcast. But I thought it was really fascinating that that was actually brought up, all these things tied in to be able to tie in sleep paralysis and end of days.
Yeah, I do recall that recording that we did, that episode that we did with the end of days. That was a good one. The stuff about sleep paralysis and theological aspect of it, they must be in the texts that are in the make up the pseudepigrapha, which are the banned books, you would say, in the Bible. Before we wrapped up today, Aaron, I did want to ask you, I wanted to circle back to the whole tarot stuff with your ex. In your opinion, do you think that she knew what she was doing? And also, based off of what we all know from her, she liked to irritate the fuck out of you for fun. Do you think she was just doing it for that? Like, in your honest assessment, because she's probably never going to fucking hear this. What are your thoughts on her and the tarot stuff?
If I'm being completely honest, I would say she probably in some form or another had to have known what she was doing, because probably something I didn't bring up in the conversation is she had mentioned that she hadn't been doing it for long, but she had certainly been doing it since before we had moved in together. So you had to have been doing it for a certain amount of time. And especially too, you have to continue doing it if you have some kind of relevance or sense that you know what you're doing or you find it interesting. And the reason why I say this is because this is a person that if she wasn't interested in something, she was going to drop it real quick. Wasn't going to happen. And I always used to kind of get made fun of whenever I would say that I'm listening to a paranormal podcast or I'm listening to a Bigfoot podcast, whatever it is. So for her to be able to continue to do it, number one, she had found it interesting, which knowing this person kind of almost paints another side of it, is I think that's a little bit of sick humor on her part. And I'm not saying that to discredit anybody who does do it. I'm just saying it from this personal perspective. I don't think I wouldn't have thought this is somebody who enjoyed doing it or would have at least known what they were doing for it. So I would say, yes, she probably did know what she was doing in some form or another. But I also go on the other side as well, is because this is also a person who, when they knew that they were going to cause anger in me or get a reaction out of me, they would continue doing it. So whenever that first feedback was, you need to stop doing this. This isn't funny. You don't know what this can do. In that head, I also know that, I'm going to use this one for a while. And I'm going to really just piss this person off. Whether it be just trying to get a reaction, trying to get anger out of me, or just knowing, hey, I'm going to have some fun with this. So I actually kind of take it on both sides. As I would say, yes, probably knew what she was doing. But also on the other side, probably doing it to be able to get reactions out of me because it was some kind of twisted humor she got out of it.
And remember, gentlemen, don't forget to rag on the hag.
Rag on the hag.
Hag rag.
Hag rag.